Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read the life of Christ in the Gospels. And often the stories of Jesus, the miracles, the healings, the feedings, the parables, we are told that crowds, that multitudes follow Jesus. People flocked to Christ when he came to a new town, at the seashore, in villages, in cities, traveling on the road. People were drawn to Jesus. But who were these people? Who were these multitudes? Who were these crowds? They seem nameless. They seem faceless. Those people are you and I. We are the people who are drawn to Jesus, that want to sit at his feet, that want to learn from Jesus, that want to experience healing from Jesus, that want to experience salvation through Jesus. We are the same people, just as those 2,000 years ago that gathered on that first Palm Sunday, that entry into Jerusalem and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We are the ones who wave our palm branches, who put down our garments, who come out of curiosity, out of need. Need for deliverance, need for forgiveness, need for healing. We come as a people in need, and we come to Jesus. We are the crowd. We are the multitude. And make no mistake about it. We are the same crowd. We are the same multitude that will gather in a few short days and yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For that is our sinful selves. Today, as we enter into Holy Week, we are asked to walk with our Lord, with our Savior, and we are asked to walk to the cross with him, to lay bare our lives and to examine ourselves, to see if we live lives that proclaim, "Blessed is he, Hosanna in the highest," or do we live lives that proclaim, "Crucify him, crucify him," through our actions? Do we honor the same things as Christ? Obedience, faithfulness, service, love of the neighbor? Or do we honor the things that crucify Christ? Power, wealth, vanity, prestige, notoriety, fame, the things of the world. In our walk with Jesus, we are called to examine ourselves. Give thanksgiving for those things in our life that proclaim Christ as Lord, as Son of God, as our risen Savior, and to lay bare before the cross those things in our life which led to Christ's crucifixion. Our sinfulness. The old Adam, as Paul calls it. Our fleshy selves. The things that are bound to this world. And today as we gather, as a people of faith, with ears that are equipped with the Holy Spirit to hear of God's love, of God's giving, of God's salvation for us, we hear what's been called the greatest story ever told. When the hour had came, Jesus took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. Jesus said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, Jesus said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then Jesus took a loaf of bread. And when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to him, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is for the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that one whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which of them it could be and who would do this. A dispute also arose among the disciples as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one at the table or the one that serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer onto you, just as my Father has conferred onto me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, that on your own faith may not fail. And you, when once have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And Simon said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me." Jesus said to them, "When I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" The disciples answered, "No, not a thing." Jesus said to them, "But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag, and the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was counted among the lawless. And indeed what is written about me is being fulfilled." They said, "Lord, look, here are two swords." Jesus replied, "It is enough." He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Jesus. When Jesus reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that all of you may not come into the time of trial." Then Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus and gave him strength. In Jesus' anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When Jesus got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading the crowd. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck a slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed the slave. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come without swords and clubs as if I was a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized Jesus and led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at Peter and said, "This man was also with him." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said, "You are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, yet another kept insisting, "Surely this man was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded Jesus and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who was it that struck you?" They kept heaping on many other insults on Jesus. When the day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and the scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. Then they said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." Jesus replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" Jesus said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Then the assembly rose as a body, and they brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, the King." Then Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all of Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether this man was a Galilean. And when Pilate learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent Jesus off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see Jesus for a long time, because he had heard about Jesus, and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned Jesus at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing Jesus. Even Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. And then he put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. The same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent this man back to us. Indeed, this man has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed the crowd again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time, Pilate said to them, "What evil has this man done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." But the crowd kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict, and their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed over Jesus as they had wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed Jesus, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it's dry? Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on Jesus' left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at Jesus, saying, He saves others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over Jesus. This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminals rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then the criminal said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land. And there in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn into two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Having said this, Jesus breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, Certainly this man was innocent. And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who through a member of the council had not agreed to their plan in action. He had come from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. And it was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment.